move to this afternoon's time certain item, which is two paired items, 1089 and 1090, please.
1089, accept Portland Utility Board annual reports, and 1090, amend Portland Utility Board code to increase the number of board members, change quorum requirement, and ex officio member term.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, today I have the honor of introducing the Portland Utility Board, which will be presenting its first annual report to the council. In May of last year, this council established the PUB based on the recommendation of a Blue Ribbon Commission Mayor Hales and I established. We asked the Blue Ribbon Commission, chaired by former U.S. Attorney Dwight Holton, to help us rethink public oversight of our two utilities. Today, we will hear from PUB members about their experience during this inaugural year. Over the past year, I've witnessed the PUB do a lot of learning, immersing themselves in the operations and budgets of two large and complex infrastructure bureaus. They established bylaws and today are proposing several structural tweaks to help them operate more efficiently and effectively. In a short amount of time, they have brought a fresh perspective to our decision-making on policy and budget issues. I'm grateful for the thoughtful, independent feedback we've received from them so far and for their service. Here to tell us more are PUB co-chairs Kendra Smith and Alan Moorman. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, council members and Mr. Mayor. I'm Alan Moorman. I'm the co-chair, and this is my fellow co-chair, Kendra Smith, to my right. We are here today to submit the first annual report, but we also want to add some context. Our investment by the board enables us to act as an effective advocate for the citizens of Portland. This investment by the board includes a very broad understanding of utility management, bureau operations, and the city budget process. PUB's first year was a very intensive examination of these areas. The PUB members worked with the bureau staff to build a foundation of understanding of these operations and the financing of both these bureaus. As the bureaus are large and complex, this learning will continue throughout our second year. But the investment of all parties has resulted in a very strong foundation to this board. It will be very good going forward as well. We've built a structure of engagement through the budget process, beginning with early briefings of the Bureau's financial plans, rate forecasts, operations, and the capital investment plan proposals, including the participation in council sessions and the mayor budget meetings. All investments take resources, and the success of this foundation building year couldn't have happened without really dedicated resources and so many people. Bureau staff, with the direction and support of top leadership, included Mike and Mike, Jonas, Cecilia, Jeff, Susan, and everybody else on their staff. And also a special note to say that our analyst, Melissa Merrill, added phenomenal support throughout the year. Also, Commissioner Fish and his staff, including Jim and Liam, were very helpful. Also, past board members, Michael Harrison and Gwen Johnson, who in addition to our current members, also dedicated their time to the successful PUB first year. We look forward to adding value to the conversation of investing in the capital infrastructure and operations of both bureaus, with an eye toward balancing system needs, risk, resource constraint, and helping the bureaus make tough choices. Our budget letter submitted to you in February, we expressed an interest in being an engaged partner in the strategic planning processes of both bureaus. The PUB encouraged the bureaus to include critical stakeholders in those processes. The PUB is very encouraged to see BES in including us in its strategic planning process. next week, Don Uchiyama, who is the assistant director of VES, will be giving the pub an update of the initial work that has been done to date, and we look forward to working with the bureaus over the fall to provide feedback. The Water Bureau will be engaging in a similar process in the coming years, and PUB really looks forward to being engaged in their strategic planning process as well. Also in the PUB budget letter, the PUB raised concerns about funding processes for Council's commitments to Mount Tabor and the proposed biogas project at BES. PUB was very happy to see the Council's funding last year that covered a portion of the Tabor work from the general fund, and we expect that the ongoing costs will be funded in the same manner. The Bureau took PUB and the Citizens Utility Board's concern about the biogas project and have continued to refine their analysis and work plan. The PUB continues to follow the biogas project, and our staff has attended several meetings with Bureau staff and CUB as the planning process continues forward. The Water Bureau is in the midst of a corrosion control study and potential changes to the regulatory requirements for water testing, treatment, and communication. The Water Bureau has briefed the PUB about the ongoing conversations with regulators and encourages them to continue the open dialogue and engage PUB as decisions are being made to the current operations. In regards to affordability, the PUB continues to encourage the bureaus to address the affordability in a holistic and integrated manner. The PUB recognizes the guidance of Commissioner Fish that he provided to the bureaus during the budget process last year and the work that his office continues to do with the bureaus to identify ways throughout the budget process to reduce rate increases and lower that have been lower than the initial expectations. PUB hopes to see this process continue for the coming year and will work with the commissioners and bureaus to further identify ways to balance resources, risk, service levels so we can make difficult choices. We want to basically make our utilities effective and most affordable for all the Portland residents. Kendra?
Great. Thanks, Alan. I'm going to cover communications, public engagement, and the proposed adjustments to the code. So regarding council communications, as you know, one reason the PUB's creation was occurred was the public perception that decisions were being made that maybe weren't in the best interest of utility customers. Openness and transparency to convincing the public that Portland takes its promise to do things differently is critical. As the commissioners, you're tasked with the unenviable job of prioritizing many competing needs in the city with constrained resources. When issues arise that affect the Utility Bureau, the PUB welcomes the opportunity to work with council to ensure proper public process and vetting for the utility-related projects and issues. In order for the PUB to be successful in providing this service, we rely on you to engage us in those decisions early and allow us enough time to secure meaningful input from the public. As far as what we've attempted to do on public engagement, our staff has worked to set a base of communication and managing through management of a public website and information sharing. Going forward, we've directed PUB staff to increase awareness of the PUB as a resource for Portland residents. This includes broadening our outreach for filling member vacancies and increasing outreach to the community groups for meeting notices. We're looking for a crowd Reading for the crowd. We know that only comes with the controversy. In terms of vacancies, related to filling vacancies, we also ask for your help in identifying and recommending candidates for board membership. The Blue Ribbon Commission recommended, and you agreed, for the pub, in order for the pub to be successful, it needs to have members with diverse backgrounds, skills, and experience. And we really need your help to move forward to get a broad pool of candidates to serve the pub. And I'll explain that a little bit further when we talk about the number of pub members we're looking at to make an adjustment to. So as far as adjustments to the code, as part of our annual review process, we identified two areas in the code that we're asking you to amend. The first clarifies the terms of ex officio members, and the second is the expansion of our membership. While the pub was created as a year-round entity, the ordinance that established the pub states that ex officio members' terms end when the city council approves the proposed budget, and it's unclear when those members actually begin their term. We found through this first year the wisdom of having ex officio members on the board, and their role is valued year-round. These members are an incredible resource, offering staff-level insight into the Bureau's activities. And, of course, as you know, the budget process really is year-round. So the ordinance for your consideration this afternoon would clarify the language that ex officio's terms would be for 1 year and with a limit of 3 terms. And then regarding expansion of pub membership, we're asking you to consider an increase in the number of voting members from 9 to 11. The reason for this is that serving on the pub requires a substantial amount of time commitment. This can lead to challenges in attendance and may influence the level of turnover in the pub. In the first year, we had 2 members resign due to time commitments and conflicts, just how many meetings and the demand with different subgroups meeting and et cetera. In addition to the time commitment, the bureaus are large, complex entities, and it takes substantial investment for board members to establish their knowledge foundation to provide oversight and engage with the bureaus and the city in an effective manner. So in recognition of these challenges, the pub requests an amendment to the city code to increase the size of the pub from 9 to 11 members, which is consistent with the Blue Ribbon Commission's recommendation. This will expand the pool of established members to account for that potential turnover.
In closing, the first year was an investment year that has resulted in a very strong foundation of knowledge on which we can rely upon and build upon this coming year. The pub has a clear plan on further engaging with the bureaus during this upcoming budget cycle and provide the council with more detailed advice and recommendations that we could build upon from last year. We definitely welcome your input and look forward to working with you. And we respectfully and happily submit this first annual report of the Portland Utility Board, and we're also happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you both. Questions for our two lead volunteers here.
Thank you very much. I know it's a huge commitment. I may have been on vacation when this came back, but I'm wondering about the issue of terms and staggering of terms. When we set it up, you were going to decide who was going to get the 1, 2, and 3-year terms. So what's happening with that?
They are staggered.
Yeah. They are staggered.
They are staggered.
Yes. We are staggering, primarily because of the issue with the depth of knowledge that, you know, you spend these years trying to establish. So it's really important to have staggered terms. I don't know exactly who is on what schedule, but we can certainly get that to you.
Did it? Yes.
Yes, it has occurred, and Melissa knows exactly who is serving what terms.
And how did we come down on term limits?
Thank you.
That's great. Good question.
That's great.
You mentioned that you would like to see more crowds at your meetings and that we could help you in that regard.
Be careful what you wish for.
And do you have some ideas about controversies we could stir up that would be the most advantageous in terms of... But seriously, I, you know, that's one of the... That may be one of my favorite lines of all time over 8 years. Because two things have changed. One is, I think I can speak for my colleagues in saying this is the best report we've had from an independent oversight body of our utilities during that period of time. And second, the fact that the room isn't packed with people and we're not enmeshed in controversy says something about the path that we're on. It doesn't mean we don't make decisions sometimes that maybe are slightly close to the line or over the line. And I have, of course, a respectful disagreement about something that's currently pending. But I think there has been a sea change. And I appreciate particularly that you acknowledge that in the last budget, the mayor used general fund money to cover the costs of Mount Tabor historic improvements. There were a lot of competing claims on that money. And the mayor could have gone a number of different ways. And I am extremely pleased that in his proposed budget, he did put the money from the general fund toward that purpose. And I would hope that future councils continue to follow that lead.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks very much. Anyone else here to speak on these two items?
We have a couple of, I think, the League of Women Voters and the Citizens Utility Board is here. Who else, Carla?
That's all who I had signed up.
Janice Thompson from the Citizens Utility Board here, and Debbie Iona from the League of Women Voters are here to give us some testimony.
I thought Mr. Robinson wanted to testify.
Yes, I think he does too.
And Mr. Robinson, our visiting friend. Janice, why don't you kick us off?
Janice Thompson, Citizens Utility Board of Oregon, and also proud to say an attendee at, I think, every single pub meeting and all but two subcommittee meetings, and even there I had a colleague cover for one. So very pleased to be, working with the pub. Several times I've initiated, joint meetings with the pub staff person. There was a mention of the biogas issue that... I focus on with the council in the last budget round, and that is definitely an issue that I think because of timing, I was kind of focused on first, but it's, I think, now a good partnership between CUB and PUB. The PUB's charge, is to provide oversight of the city council's management of these two public utility bureaus. They are complex, and so... the group faced a steep learning curve that is now significantly less steep due to the group's hard work. But there's going to be ongoing learning needs, and as has been noted, there are going to be some new pub members, and so I think something to think about for them to think about for the next year and beyond is providing an orientation and coaching, as new members come in. CUB supports the two ordinance amendments. As a member of the Blue Ribbon Commission, I actually supported recommending an 11-member group, just given that it seemed like a really big job and more hands on deck could come in handy. There were valid concerns, though, on the part of the BRC about getting enough applicants, which is why the Blue Ribbon Commission recommendation was this 9 or 11, and I certainly understood last summer why the 9 option offered by the BRC was recommended. But, particularly given that the 11 had always been kind of in the mix, and for all the reasons cited in the annual report, CUB certainly supports expanding the group size. Also supportive is clarity about the terms of the ex officio members being made year-round participants. The Blue Ribbon Commission had heard criticism of the fall-only timeline of BACs not really working for these bureaus, particularly given the extensive capital improvement planning. And so this contributed to a major finding that's reflected in the ordinance that the pub be the back and to include a staff person from the Bureau to kind of meet the goal of the... Is that okay?
That's okay. Keep going, please.
Unfortunately, there's not a huge crowd behind me or...
No problem.
So I think there's lots of reasons to clarify that the ex officio member should indeed be year-round. And they have been extremely helpful and very respectful of their kind of non-voting status. Two comments on the annual report itself. On page one, kind of the opening paragraph, it seems like it would have been good if that paragraph had conveyed that the role of the pub is oversight of the city council's management of the bureaus. Obviously, there's lots of input that is being provided directly to the bureaus. But again, I think the BRC's focus on making these improvements was linked to, decisions made in the past. I understand that. But that historically, the problem has, in terms of some of the controversies, have definitely not been Bureau decisions. It's been Council decisions. And I think there could be just improvements clarifying that the pub is, yes, providing oversight to the bureaus, but is also clearly charged with oversight to the city council. And that just seems to be a little bit missing in that opening statement. Also want to note and support on page six the discussion about the communications with the city council. I think the Terminal One situation certainly clarified that a role for the pub includes providing oversight of the council. And definitely support the comments they make on that regard towards the bottom of page six and request for improved engagement from the city council. At the same time, I have recommended that the pub also request its staff to monitor council agendas and provide regular reports to the pub on city council matters. A lot of routine things, go through, occur in these chambers, and I think it could be a good educational opportunity for the pub to, hear from its staff person about kind of what's happening here, particularly, when points are made, by the public and whatnot. And the other thing I just need to mention is, though, the Terminal One situation, and I think, and it's the recommendations that were made by both Pub and Cub that it maybe could have been given a little bit more credence and more involvement in the lead up to that discussion. I obviously would be remiss in not mentioning that the City Council has heeded Cub's budget-related recommendations for both the 2015 and fiscal year 16-17 Utility Bureau budgets. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, thank you.
Let me just, for a point of clarification, I think one of the comments you made on the Terminal 1 discussion had to do with whether the Bureau of Environmental Services was receiving fair market rent on the transaction. While the terms of a lease agreement have not been finalized, it's my understanding that the rent payments on whatever portion of the facility is used by the Housing Bureau will in fact be based on fair market rent. So while your testimony in the amendment didn't pass, your testimony did not cause the amendment that was offered to pass. In point of fact, in subsequent discussions among principals, the Housing Bureau has committed to paying fair market rent, the details to be worked out. So I still think you're weighing in on that was very helpful.
That's good to know. I gather that because there's been covered in the press. But, I think another factor in that was a lawsuit, and it's kind of too bad that, the potential legal action potentially has to be a nudge to help along. I mean, the legal action, I think, could have been avoided. Let's put it that way. If there had been earlier action taken to heed oversight recommendations. Is that so? Just an added twist.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Other questions? Thank you so much. Debbie?
I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. Is it, can you hear it? Okay. The League opposed the 2014 ballot measure that would have removed management of the Water Bureau and BES from City Council. We did, however, support steps to strengthen oversight of Council's management of the bureaus. As regular observers of pub meetings, for example, we have recommended that the pub website clearly indicate its City Council oversight role. Sorry. Oh, my God, I can't read that word of the pub. Forget that. Oh, in terms of, this is what happens when you amend as you're sitting there. In terms of the pub's annual report, the League supports pub's recommendation for a larger board and for clarifying the role of ex officio members. The three ex officio members from BES and the Water Bureau are valuable contributors to pub discussions. They respect the difference between voting and ex officio membership, ask clarifying questions, and add context to the discussions. Year-round participation is important because issues affecting budgets, particularly capital improvement planning, require ongoing discussion throughout the year. The Blue Ribbon Commission recommended a 9 or 11 member pub. Starting with 9 was a worthy experiment, but given the workload, the need to accommodate absences, and the importance of adding a greater diversity of experience and backgrounds to the pub, we support the call for a larger board. Success also depends on City Council's continued and meaningful engagement with the pub and attention to its recommendations. Including pub and cub in Council budget work sessions is a beneficial procedural element that should be continued. Because we strongly believe in the need for better oversight, the League is concerned that City Council's commitment to engagement with the pub and cub was not demonstrated in regard to Terminal 1. Separate from the pros and cons of the proposal, it is of great concern that the recommendations of both oversight groups received short shrift during the Council discussion of setting the terms of the lease between BES and the Housing Bureau. Press reports indicate that the negotiations are continuing and obtaining a fair market value rent is now a goal, as Commissioner Fish just stated. It's problematic that reaching this goal appears to be motivated more by legal action than by the advice provided by the groups associated with the improved utility oversight system you created. City Council's disregard for input from Pub and Cub in the Terminal 1 case sends a troubling signal that the work to create a stronger oversight system for City Council decisions regarding utility ratepayer dollars was lip service. In closing, we support Council's adoption of Pub's annual report and urge you to be more diligent in providing timely information to Pub and Cub on potential City Council action and in heeding their future advice, even when threat of legal action is not involved. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Honorable Mayor, members, Richard Robinson. Because of your oversight responsibility, I feel it incumbent upon me. I've been actively involved for years in an anti-litter campaign, but a utility pole is not a kiosk. The visual cacophony in certain neighborhoods is overwhelming. One can see where, because of a lack of proper attention to simple housekeeping, a neighborhood has gone downhill because of the litter on the lampposts, the utility poles. Briefly, your utility board should be made aware of a growing problem. on Broadway at Grand, Morrison at 12, these are only two intersections that come to consciousness. It is a problem that can be solved, but it has to be solved expeditiously because some of these neighborhoods are really going downhill. Thank you.
Debbie, before you go, thank you for your written testimony. I just want to state for the record that I support both of the proposed code changes. And I was trying to remember the conversation we had at the formation. And my recollection was that on the question of the ex officio members, there was some sensitivity about not surrounding the pub with too many people and therefore inadvertently dilute their autonomy. And so we as a sort of an initial step, we said we would create these ex officio positions to have, in effect, a direct relationship with staff that had a lot of information, but we would tailor it to the budget season. I think a couple of things have changed. One is we've heard from the co-chairs that the budget season now actually lasts all year. I mean, we've effectively taken the Bureau budget committees and made them all year-round bodies serving with this kind of continuity of expertise. And two is that whatever concern we have about sort of the undue influence of ex officio members, the pub leadership says we want them there. So those two, for me, are the deciding factors as to why I think it makes sense. And I'm actually very pleased that they are viewed as resources for the pub to do their job better. So that's why I support this change and the other change. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak on these items? If not, then let's have a motion, please, on the report.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Thank you for this excellent report. I appreciate it very much. Aye.
Huge undertaking, and thanks again, Commissioner Fish, for bringing both utilities into very normalcy, a state of normalcy, which is very nice. I
want to thank our co-chairs. Everybody on the pub gives freely of their time. The co-chairs have made an extra commitment to this process, and they provided us with thoughtful and stable leadership, so thank you. To Melissa Merrill, who has been noted, one of the analysts. Colleagues, it was, I think, a very important decision that we made when we tried to learn from the from some of the weaknesses in the prior oversight process and creating this new process, the commitment that we made to providing ongoing staff. And the professional staff support that we ensured and our funding is one of the reasons, I think, that the pub has on a fairly accelerated track gotten up and running and has been having a significant impact on the quality of our work. So I want to thank Melissa. I also just want to acknowledge that that this was a work in progress, and I want to go back to the Blue Ribbon Commission and thank those citizen volunteers for taking the time to help us craft this new system. We knew that year one was going to be a year with a very steep learning curve. And if you look at the report, it really is quite amazing how this group jumped into the work and the kind of briefings they requested and the progress they've made. This next year, I think we're going to see this this new relationship come to fuller flower. And what I anticipate, particularly at budget time, that instead of coming in and providing high-level review of our budget, we'll have an opportunity to go deeper and particularly into areas like the five-year CIP, which many other advisory groups have found a difficult nut to crack. And sometimes we hear the complaint, well, it's already cooked, what's our role? I think in year two, you're going to see tougher questions posed about priorities both on the capital side and the operating side. And my commitment, as long as I have the honor of leading both bureaus, is you'll have the full cooperation of my bureaus in your work. And in that regard, Mayor and colleagues, I do want to thank the senior leadership and staff of both the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Water Bureau, because they made a commitment to this process, and as you heard from the co-chairs, they followed through on that commitment. Thank you for an outstanding report, and we look forward to building on this relationship. Aye.
details?
Well, I've had the chance as mayor to work in partnership with each of my colleagues on one or another shared initiatives, and this one has had several facets to it. That is the initiative of trying to restore the credibility of our city utility functions with the public. It's had several facets. Some were political, like having to beat back a hostile takeover ballot measure. Others have been administrative, like having professional staff assigned to the utility function, and then some are oversight in the form of the pub. And I think the fact that we have reached this new normal of proper administration, following the rules and having the general public know that that's what's happening is a really significant accomplishment. So, Commissioner Fish, I appreciate the good work that you've done and that we've all done to get to this point. So more to come, and obviously having really effective citizen oversight of this function is not something we just needed for a little while. It's something we always need. So we're going to continue to depend on volunteers like you two and your colleagues on the pub that are willing to put your time into this process, just as we do with budget advisors and planning commissioners and other folks from the community that really invest themselves in the function of the city. So thank you, and well done all around. Aye. Okay, and then let's vote on the emergency ordinance to change the number of board members and make the other changes in the code.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Ritz?
I was particularly glad to hear Co-Chair Smith talk about the importance of public engagement and to read the reports in the section about some of the reasons for member turnover, the proposal to change meeting times to 4 to 6:30 to help build as an institution, but also maybe to widen the number of people who might be able to make it, and your commitment to avoid midday meetings in particular. So I appreciate that. There's no one right answer, I don't think, on the timing issue, although when I was on the Planning Commission, we had one meeting a month at 12:30 and the other at 7, and that, so people could come to one or the other, and that seemed to, might be something to consider. And I do appreciate the expanding the membership, I'll think about who I might be able to recommend to you. And on that lines, I remember that Commissioner Judy Shiprack, when she was a state representative, was giving a presentation to young women about how to get involved. And she was recommending that people get involved in boards and commissions as a way to learn how to do things. And she said that she had been, she applied to be on the plumbing board because although she knew nothing whatsoever about plumbing, she was a user of the system. So I think we all drink water and use our sewer system. So that opens it up to bright, sharp people who would be willing to do the work who might not necessarily be subject experts. So that's what I'm going to be thinking about. Thank you very much. Aye.
I think these are two very sensible changes, and I endorse them enthusiastically. I also want to, though, acknowledge the work that the Citizens Utility Board is doing, and Janice Thompson in particular, because, in effect, when we launched this experiment, we got effectively two for the price of one. We have the pub and the cub working arm in arm from slightly different perspectives and with different levels different histories to help us get it right. And Janice, in the last 6 months, was very creative in looking at the architecture of this and recommending changes. And I think there may be additional changes that we'll be considering in the future. But we really appreciate that partnership and having Janice at the table helping us get it right as well. So I want to thank you. Since the League of Women Voters is the only other party that testified today, thank you, Debbie, for taking the time and for always being here. The issue that was raised about the website seems to me to be a good one, and I think we can follow through on that and make sure that we get that right. And then I just want to, before I vote, close with some happy news. Colleagues, this week, the Water Bureau quietly relaunched AutoPay. And that means that you can go on the website and sign up for AutoPay, and you're going to see some new bells and whistles. And we're also about to, Kathy reminds me that we have some other surprises in store this fall that I think our customers will really appreciate. A huge technological challenge that had to be overcome to get to this point, but the numbers are very strong. And for those of you who like the convenience of AutoPay, it is now currently up and running. So we're very pleased. Thank you. Aye.
Thank you. I look forward to using AutoPay. Aye. And we're adjourned until next week.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's great. Huge.